do your thing now. Come on up here and do your thing now. Well, come on up here. Do what you do. I resemble that remark. That's awesome. That's awesome. Ladies, remember, there's a difference in being a birth mom or birth mother and being a mother mom. There's a big difference. And so there's people that's given birth over the years but never really reached out and did anything for the kids. There's others that never had the kids but reached out and took care of them. Just this week, you wouldn't believe the people just this week, and I didn't go for it and ask them to show me. Just this week, the people that told me that they were raised by their grandma or raised by their aunt or raised by somebody like that, and they said, that's my mom. And so again, you know, this is Mother's Day is about all of that. It's more about influence than anything else. Amen. That reminded me, you said that, remind me of that story where the guy said, the woman was doing a seminar, and she said, how many in here would enjoy mothering your husband? And one lady ran up and raised her hand, and the lady said, really? You'd like to mother your husband? She said, I'm sorry, I thought you said smother. Yeah. I searched the world over and was looking at all couple of weeks looking up Mother's Day quotes. And so I found, out of the hundreds of Mother's Day quotes, I found the top 10. Like David Letterman, I found the top 10. Forgive me, this might not be your top 10, but this was my top 10. So here we go. Number 10. If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? Milton Berle. I see it's going good already. Okay. Milton Burr, Uncle Milty. I know y'all, the younger people, don't have any idea who Uncle Milty is. All right. Number 9. The most remarkable thing about my mother is that for 30 years she served the family nothing but leftovers. The original meal has never been found. All right. Number 8. My mom says she learned how to swim. Mama said when she learned how to swim, someone took her out in the lake and threw her off the boat. That's how she learned how to swim. I said, Mom, they weren't trying to teach you how to swim. That's good, y'all. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That was funny. Never seen that one before. Now I wonder about the time I got thrown off the pier. Number 7. I asked my mom if I was a gifted child. She said, they certainly wouldn't have paid for you. Okay. It's not totally lost. It's still okay. I used to have functioning brain cells, but I traded them for children. Good stuff here. Never used these before. That's even better. You know, you can't say it's the old joke book. This is the new joke book I'm working on, right? Taking on water. Getting ready to bail out right now. Ready? Bedtime is the leading cause of dehydration in children. Mom, can I have some water? Number four. Here's a home run. I've been married 14 years and have three kids. Obviously, I breed well in captivity. I know, I had to wonder, I had to pray about that. Okay. Mothers of teens know why some animals eat their young. See, I told you they weren't all that. Okay. Number two. My mom said the only reason men are alive are for lawn care and vehicle maintenance. Of course, that was Tim Allen, Tim the Toolman Allen. And the number one, honestly, this should have been mine, but I'm not going to take claim to this. Number one is, when your mom's voice is so loud, even your neighbors brush their teeth and get dressed. See, they were good, weren't they? Yeah, go ahead. That's okay. All right. We've been talking about seven sevens. And so I tried to find seven mothers in the Bible. And actually what I did was I found 10 women. Some of them were mothers and some of them weren't. And we're not going to do them all today because I know you want to go out with your mother today and have a chance to be with her or to call her or something or take your wife out to eat something today. So I am going to talk for a few minutes on life lessons from women of the Bible. Okay, here they come. These are all the women. I know this looks kind of wild, but I promise you it's not going to be as wild as it looks. There you go. Finally, here we go. Life lessons from women of the Bible. Okay, we can actually learn a lot. I mean, rich lessons from women. There we go. Rich lessons from women in the Bible. People in the Bible generally, but women especially. You know, I hear a lot about women's lib and women's rights and all that, but the Bible was one of the greatest liberators, and Jesus himself was the greatest liberator there ever was of women and all races. Jesus was just awesome because he saw no bounds. He reached out to the people and the people in need. So some of these women are well known and some of them are not, but I'm going to mention just a few. And I'm not going to go through the entire thing and read every scripture, because if I read every scripture, then we're going to be here for quite a while. But get your Bible out, so in case you want to read along with me, you can. God is good all the time. That's right. Turn to the book of Genesis. If you don't know where the book of Genesis is, then you're in trouble. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. All right. The very first person that we're going to talk about is Eve. All right. So Genesis chapter 3. Watch this. Genesis chapter 3. We'll just go to verse 6. Okay. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The life lesson here is what you do or what you don't do affects more than you ever imagine. Eve fell for the temptation. And when she fell for the temptation, Adam, who had directly heard out of God's mouth, Eve had not heard it directly out of God's mouth. Adam had. Adam was the priest of his home. Adam fell right along with her. She said, "Eat," and he said, "Yes, ma'am." Amen? And so sin was brought on the world. You know, Adam, later on, they were kicked out of the garden. Adam and Cain and Abel were walking through the land one day, and they come past the Garden of Eden and the locked gates. And Cain and Abel looked over at Adam and said, what's in there, Daddy? And they said, this is where your mom ate us out of house and home. Okay. burn that one. I have a feeling somebody's going to burn it for me. Amen. You know, I was talking to my wife, and she said, you know, I wonder what it was like Adam and Eve when before the fall. They were perfect. She said, can you imagine that they were perfect? I said, so after the fall, I'm pretty sure things changed. She said, what do you think? I said, well, before the fall, Adam probably looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. After the fall, he probably looked like me. Okay. Y'all are really into this today. I can see. My jokes are getting worse all the time, so I'm not going to tell any more jokes. Thank God for Genesis 3:15. He said, I'm going to put enmity, told the serpent, and Eve said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed, and her seed, you're going to bruise, told the saint, the snake, that your seed would bruise his heel, but he would bruise your head. Jesus said, I'll give you power to tread on serpents. That's where it come from. Amen? So, Eve, what you do, I just want you to think about this, not just moms, but everybody. What you do affects more than you will ever imagine. Amen? So now, number two, we're going to look at Sarah. Now Sarah and Abraham, they were old. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. They were told they were going to have a son, of course, but they were 90, they were 100 when he had him. But he was going to have a son, and Sarah said, I can't have children. So Sarah decided to do it herself. I'm going to fix this all out. I'm going to make God's promise come to pass. And so she got her handmaiden, Hagar, and she had Abraham go in with her. And so they had a baby through Hagar, which was Ishmael. And God said, that's not what I said. I said I was going to have a seed through you and Abraham. And so because of this, when they had Isaac, there was a big problem. Because the seed of the flesh, which was Ishmael, was making fun of the seed of the spirit, which was Isaac. So Sarah gets mad and sends him on his way. Okay, but let's back up a little bit. Sarah was trying to make it happen. But the Bible said at the set time, Sarah had the baby. Okay, and called him Isaac, which means laughter, because she laughed at the promise of God that it would never happen. So here's what I want to tell you. If you're here today and you've been waiting for God to do something for you and you're thinking that God's not going to do it, guess what? He'll keep his promise. Amen? God will keep his promise. She was 90. She had a baby. She had never been able to have a baby before. God gave her a child through her. All right? So here's another lesson. Quit trying to help him. Come on. Quit trying to help God fulfill his promise in you. That's why there is such a problem now, because the seed of the flesh is still fighting the seed of the spirit. Amen? Amen? What's going on is this terrorism is going on because Ishmael is still fighting Isaac. Amen? It's going on. It's never stopped. Amen? So, first, Sarah. I won't keep you long today. I promise. If I do keep you long, forgive me. Next is Hagar. Hagar got pulled in. She wasn't doing anything. She was just trying to be a faithful servant to her mistress, which was Sarah. It was Sarah who decided that they would have a baby through Hagar. It was not Hagar's option. It was Sarah's option. She was trying to help God out. And so she brings Hagar in, and I can promise you that spells trouble. Did get that spells trouble. And so she goes in, and here goes Hagar. She has Ishmael, like I was talking about, at the weaning party. And at the weaning party, Isaac was being weaned, and he was probably about 5 years old. He's being weaned, and Ishmael's making fun of him. And so Sarah tells Abraham to get rid of Hagar and to get rid of Ishmael. And so they get cast out and they're in the desert, and she's making the last little bit for them to live on or to eat on. Then they're going to die. But God comes to them and says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you and the boy, and y'all are going to be a great nation. So watch this. And of course, it has been a great nation. So here it is. Even when you feel rejected and cast away, God sees and God responds. How many here's ever felt rejected? How many have ever felt like you've been cast away? God sees and God will respond. Amen? Because he's been there. Isaiah 53 says, and 1 says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him, and there will be no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and is rejected of men, sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Jesus knows what it's like to be counted out, but praise God, God knows how to use us anyway. And then the very last one I'm going to talk about today, and then we're going to close today. We'll finish the other ones next week, because I know you want to spend some time with your mother. And Rebecca. Now, Rebecca is very special, and I want you to get your Bibles out. Genesis 24. I'm going to spend a little time here. That's why it's the last one. Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Just go to verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that this is Abraham's servant. Abraham's servant, he has been commissioned to go find a bride for Isaac. And you got to remember now, this servant is a type of the Holy Ghost. He's searching for a bride for Isaac. It's the same way the Holy Spirit searches for a bride for Jesus. Amen. When your heart's being convicted, what's going on is the servant, the Holy Spirit, is convicting us and helping us to become the bride of Christ. Okay. And it came to pass before he done speaking that, behold, and here, let me just do it this way. I better back up a little bit more, so I don't want to. Let's do this here. And the servant took verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia into a city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be that she has appointed for thy servant Isaac, and therefore I shall know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Verse 15, and it came to pass, before she had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when he had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw also for thy camels also until they've done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. and drew for all of his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou?" And what's happened is he knows this is the one that God has called. So let me just tell you something about this story. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone in a parking lot and you park your car, and when you come back, there's shopping carts all around running to your car? And you look, and the cart receiver is only like one slot down. It's empty, and the parking lot is full of carts. Just the other day, I was pulling in the Food Line, and I pulled up beside somebody, and right beside me was the receiver for the empty carts. And she saw me getting in my car. I was coming out. She was leaving. And she saw me getting in my car. She was getting ready to push the cart into my car. And when she saw me, she turned and pushed it the other way and got in her car and left. And the receiver is right here. And I see that, and it just drives me nuts. I was walking in Food Line one day, and a man was walking with his wife. They were looking at the groceries. And he took his arm and knocked several things in the floor. And the wife looked at the husband and said, "How about pick those up?" And he said, "They got people here for that." And he kept on walking. What I have discovered is, that's not just a once every now and then. That attitude has become prevalent in our day and time. Because not just with the shopping carts in Walmart or the shopping carts in Food Line or knocking stuff off the shelf in Walmart or Food Line, but it's everywhere you go. You know, in Newbern now, they have a man on Middle Street. All his job is to watch how people park. And he gives tickets if you park over the line because people take two parking places for their car. And there's only like 10 parking places there. So, and as I see all this stuff going on and going down, I think about Rebecca. She's the kind of woman that would have never pushed her cart into another car. I even saw one girl get in her car before she got in her car. She took the cart. I'm not kidding. She took the cart and didn't just push it forward. She pushed it and watched it go across the parking lot and run into several cars. Again, the attitude of our age. Somebody will fix it. I don't have time to fix it myself. Also, I don't think I'm called to do something that minor. Guess what? That's not minor. Jesus said, when you give a cup of water to somebody in an apostle's name, you get an apostle's reward just for a cup of water. So let's watch this. Look. Ready? Genesis 24. Let's talk about Rebecca. Rebecca, God blesses those who give it all they got. Rebecca goes beyond average. Average is the day and time we live in. Average. I mean average. I get tired of somebody saying, "Can you hold on a second?" Because that second, it does not mean a second. It doesn't even mean they're going to hurry up. That second means you're going to be there till I decide to pick up the phone again. Okay? I hear it all the time. Just give me a second. Or one of my favorites when I was at Fountain is, watch this. Look, and I'm not making fun of the person, because the person, this is how the person talked because they were from Columbia or somewhere. I say, "Can you help me over here for just a minute?" And they would go, "Not my job, man. Not my job, man." I said, "Can you help over here? I'm holding this all by myself." Can they go, "Not my job, man." So I quit even asking, would they help? Because they always gave me a, "Not my job, man." And so again, we were told not, we had some chemicals that would, if you sparked it, it would catch on fire. Acetone, it would catch on fire. And so we had these rubber coated containers that even had a fusible link on it, so if it caught on fire around it, it would close because it would explode. And I watched a guy walking around outside, and he was dragging it. I was actually in the acetone building doing my reports. I'm in there doing my reports. The guy comes at the acetone building. I hear something scraping the ground. I turned around, and he had done dragged that thing to where he had scraped the rubber off of it. And he's just pulling it. I even saw a spark. I looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" And he went. And I said, he'd been trained. I said, "What are you doing dragging that? We have carts for that." Here's what he said was, "You'll speak your language." He could. And so what I did was, I went, boom! He went, he picked it up and carried it over. But see, average. I'll do it my way. It don't matter what the precautions are. It doesn't matter what everything is. I'm going to do it my way. You know, DC, I'm going to brag on him a little bit. He just got his paramedic, certified paramedic, and I'm very proud of the boy. He done good. Amen. And the very first time out, he wound up saving a life, brought a guy back from the dead. His very first go around as his paramedic. He did it before, but as a paramedic, you know, his very first time out. But DC, I can promise you, if you don't follow procedure, guess what happens? You kill people. Amen? So you can't be average. You cannot be average. We are children of God. We're supposed to go the extra mile. God says, if they compel you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. The soldiers back in that day, the soldiers literally could come up to you and drop their bags in front of you and say, "Take my bag." And you'd have to drop everything you're doing and pick up their bags and their weapons. And you have to walk 1 mile. And when you got 1 mile, you could drop it. It was legal. You could drop it right there. And people were taught how to walk out a mile. So if they were compelled, which means they put in the military service, if they were put in the military service to carry that stuff for that soldier, when they got to 1 mile, they could drop it and the soldier couldn't do a thing about it. Jesus said, if they compel you to go 1 mile, you go 2. My people are going to be different. My people are going to care. My people are going to get it done. So here's Rebecca. Watch this. She had no idea what was going on. This man had 10 camels. Do you know how much a camel drinks? 20 to 30 gallons at a time. I reckon it depends if it's a one humper or a two humper. You know what the second hump is, don't you? That's the reserve tank. Also makes a good saddle. So 10 camels, 20 to 30 gallons each. She carried a 5-gallon pitcher. That's standard. She would have to stand in line at that well because it was while everybody was feeding and getting water. It was far away, so she had to run to get to the well. When she got to the well, to go back up, she had to go uphill to get to the camels. So it probably took her 40 to 60 trips to water the camels. And the servant didn't ask her to do the camels. The servant said, "Give me water." And said, "God, the woman that'll say your camels too will know that's the one because she's not average." Amen? She's not average. So watch this. It possibly took her 2 to 3 hours to water those camels. She had no idea when she got through watering those camels that she was going to be rewarded with the gift of those camels belonged to her. Wow. Wow. So, God blesses those who gives it all they got. For us being the most like our Savior when you give it all you got. So, I'm going to stop it right here. Come on up here, DC. You can play something. There's a lot of the mothers in the Bible teach us a lot, a whole lot. Rebecca to me stands out more than anybody because I want my life to speak loud. I want my life to make such a difference. If people are going to say, "Wait a minute, he just didn't do what he was told to do. He did more." It makes a difference. Everybody stand. It's Mother's Day, not Labor Day, so I'll get off of that one. Every Labor Day that I have experienced since 1997 was the greatest challenge that I ever had, because that was the year my mother died. So it was 1998 on Mother's Day. 1998. Things were different. Emotions high. All kinds of stuff. But I pushed through, ministered. And every year, different challenges. 2002. My wife, DC and Daniel's mom, was gone. So there was another Mother's Day different. Every year, there's always a challenge. But there's one thing that remains the same. And that is my love for my mom and my mom's love for me. And another thing is the legacy that she left. I hear her talking to me all the time. I hear things she say. And even today, there was a thing I said, my mama used to say, because that's part of that legacy. So I'm here today to tell you that all this stuff changes as we get older, but the love stays the same, and the legacy grows. Matter of fact, the love grows too. The love grows, the legacy grows. So although things around us change, remember this, the love and the legacy will never stop because you're carrying it on. So today, if your mom's here, love her. Celebrate her. Take her out. Do something. If she's gone, thank God that you had her. And thank God for the love that still grows. And thank God for the legacy that's still strong and still growing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's so many times where I want to be able to look at my mama and say, Mama, I need to talk to you. Mama, the things I need to say. But now I hear my mama tell me, I told you what to do, boy. Don't you forget it. I told you. Don't forget. And the biggest one is she said, boy, I hope you have two of them just like you. I got them. Right now, we're going to do something different. If your mom's here, I want you to get out to her and put your hands on her. Love her. If there's a woman here that doesn't have their children and you're here and don't have a mom around here, get to them and hold their hand. Maybe your wife. Grab your wife's hand. Don't let a woman be here without somebody holding their hand. As you hold the hand of that woman, I want you to put your other hand up in the air. And I want you to pray a blessing. You pray a blessing over that woman. Do you know that a woman is the greatest earthly example of what the Holy Spirit does in anything in this world? They stay in the background. They don't talk about themselves. They push you. They encourage you. They lift you up. They strengthen you. They teach you. And many times nobody even knows it. So we're going to do it today. Everybody got a woman by the hand? All right, here we go. Ready? Here's what I want you to say. Lord, bless this woman. She has sacrificed so much over the years, and I thank you for her. Bless her with many years to come. Let them be productive. Let them be powerful. I thank you for them right now. In the name of Jesus. Now just, all of you, just put your hands up. Put your hands up, everybody. God, we reach up to you right now. We love you. We trust you. We praise your name. We thank you for all that you do for us, God, all that you say. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well, Lord. And I thank you, God, that your love and your power, your compassion never ends. Bless and anoint. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Y'all are looking good. Did I tell you that? All right, Brother Benny, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?